Well, Len, here in Illinois, everyone is starting to rejoice as golf is getting back a little bit closer to normal after 2 long months of very harsh restrictions put down by Governor Pritzker. First off, not having courses open in April while surrounding states were open. And then here in May, under still yet tough restrictions, only to some snow carts, no driving ranges, no lessons, etc., while all of these things have been happening in neighboring states, including places up in Wisconsin like Sand Valley and Whistling Straits being able to put their caddies out. And finally, tomorrow, some of these restrictions are coming off the books here in Illinois, and I think the golf courses are going to look a little bit more like what we expect them to be for this time of year in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, I'm happy for all the Chicago golfers there, because it changes everything when you can play foursomes, and it changes everything when you can use the driving ranges. I mean, that's something you take just for granted any other time that you would have that. The one area that has, Roy, that does bother me that hasn't been addressed is what's going to happen with the caddies. They still are in limbo. They don't seem to be imminent right now, but we've got a lot of kids who in the next month or two or three are going to be looking for work. A lot of people do like caddies. I mean, I was one when I was growing up. I'm hoping, I know the Western Golf Association is pushing for this, and I'm supporting them in it. We got to get caddies out there. They are, Chick Evans used to say, they're the lifeblood of the game. Back then, I'm sure they were. But that's the one thing right now that is really, to me, blatantly missing from the. I think it's great that they're back at close to full capacity for golf, but the caddies are something that's got to be addressed pretty soon.
Well, Len, it seems like from what we're hearing here, it's only going to be 4 caddies going out at this point, even though there is individual caddies working at Sand Valley in Wisconsin, at Whistling Straits in Kohler. And I know from speaking to the people at Erin Hills yesterday, their owner, Andy Ziegler, has seen enough of the pull carts or push carts that they brought in. He wants the caddies back at work next week, and it sounds like Erin Hills is getting to reopen on a grander scale starting next Monday or Tuesday. They're going to try to have their caddies back in there. They are going to reopen the overnight lodging. They are going to have the restaurant back at 50% capacity. The range will be open. The Drumlin, the massive, whatever it is, half, three-quarter acre putting green will reopen. So things really seemingly getting back to normal in Wisconsin a little quicker than they are here. It would be nice to get some kind of a clarification on what's happening with our practice facilities here. There was one report that we're going to be able to put maybe as many as 4 people at once on a putting green. That's it. And then if you're there and you want to putt, you're going to have to wait for somebody else to get off the putting green before you can actually go on it. And as for Illinois and caddies, what came out through a CDGA email was that we're going to have 4 caddies. And the 4 caddy will be basically out there a couple hundred yards from the tee. He'll mark the balls, will carry a rake to rake bunkers, and hopefully those 4 caddies will all have some sort of laser yardage device that allows them to shoot the yardage for the players and basically step away, and that's going to be it. They're not going to be up on the green over your shoulder reading putts. They will probably just see you at the next hole. When you get to the tee, you'll see somebody out there about 225 yards down the fairway ready to make sure they can drop a towel or something if necessary to mark your golf ball.
I tell you, 4 caddies are a good idea. In fact, you know, you think about it, they ought to be almost an automatic for golf anymore. I'm surprised they're not. I think 4 caddies are great. They really, really, really help create a nice atmosphere for a game. But, you know, I don't know that that's going to really help. It's a start, but there's so many more kids out there who could and would and want to be a caddy, and doesn't look like at this point in time the jobs are out there for them. But again, progress is slow sometimes, and it certainly seems to be slower in Illinois than it is in most states in the country. But at least there is, at least they're in the direction of moving forward. That's something.
Well, it was interesting to learn yesterday that section events were back taking place in Wisconsin yesterday, coming on the heels of only an announcement last week from the Illinois PGA that their section events apparently are not going to start until July here, and that some other events that they had hoped to hold, I believe, in June or possibly early July have been X'd off the calendar. And I know the Wisconsin section pros were celebrating the fact that they had a section event yesterday and everybody could kind of get together, see one another, discuss how they're working through the COVID-19 era and trying to keep as many golfers happy as much as possible.
Yeah, that's another case of where things are going good in the neighboring states, but not up to snuff in Illinois yet. But the what's left of the tournament season is going to be interesting in Illinois. The two biggest Chicago District golf events are canceled, the State Amateur and the CDGA Amateur. Now, the two biggest Illinois PGA events, the Illinois Open and the, you know, that's still on. And that's going to be stand out by itself as the highlight of the year for the Illinois PGA Championship and the Illinois Open will still be out there. They'll be the highlight tournaments of the year for local players, it seems. Which is unfortunate. I still wish a little more determined to keep some of these other events alive, even in these hard times.
Yeah, it seems like the easy thing to do. And whether this is coming from the restrictions set down by the state of Illinois or not, it just seems like the easy thing to do here in Illinois has just been to cancel things, to not even, I know people say they look through all the options, and maybe they are, but we don't seem that there's any urgency just to push some things back on the calendar or try to find a way to still hold some of the events that are normally on the calendar. I know that the Illinois PGA is still working very hard to get the match play that was canceled at Kemper Lakes for earlier this month back on the books for the fall, and hopefully they do. The section championship is always late August, coming a couple of weeks after the Illinois Open, where that falls now on the calendar. And that still seems that it will happen, but it's a rough go for everyone to try to work out a lot of the logistics. And, you know, Len, you and I both watched the two charity matches that were held down in Florida mm-hmm. a week apart. Mm-hmm. This past one, well, I don't know if the golf was that great, but I think the camaraderie was a little bit better between the players. Of course, we had two teams and, you know, certain personalities there. Phil Mickelson and Peyton Manning really stood out as the two guys that carried things from a comedy and humor standpoint. You know, it raises the question, was there any way that our golf organizations could have gotten together and created some sort of a charity event here in Illinois? I know there's various hospitals and different places around here that could use a few additional dollars. I give a lot of credit to the doctors who are members out at White Eagle Country Club in Naperville, the site of this year's Illinois Open, to raise some money. They had people, members, board members, club presidents, and so forth, shaving their heads for some money. Very quickly, in less than a week, they raised over $20,000 by guys getting their haircuts. So it would be nice to see some kind of an event here and show that, as we see all the time on the PGA Tour, golf gives back some money here to either some hospitals or some COVID-19 relief efforts. It would be look good coming from the golf industry of Illinois, and who knows, might even score a couple of points with some of the politicians here in state as well.
The two events out here were, I wouldn't liken a local fundraiser to the two that were out here in Florida, the two events here, but the first one it raised $5.5 million. And I tell you the truth, the golf was much better in that first one with Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson in there. I mean, it was four tour players, Ricky Fowler and Matt Wolf. I thought that was quite good. I really enjoyed that. But I noticed that the feedback since then was that the second event, the one that had the two quarterbacks in there, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, that, you know, the people like that one, it certainly raised a lot more money. It raised $20 million. I mean, that's terrific. That's what it was for. But that second event was played in just terrible weather. Two popular tour players, Mickelson and Woods, they kind of, you know, kind of carried the carried the show. There was a lot more banter between the players. Charles Barkley was popular as a host. We're not far away now. June 11, that's the start of the resumption of the reopening of the PGA Tour out of Colonial. So that's when we see some real golf. I can't wait for it.
There was a nice announcement that I got on the email system this morning. Blackberry Oaks, managed by Illinois PGA Section Pro Chad Johansson, finally announced that the entire golf course was open for play as of today. Parts of the golf course there had been shut down for a couple weeks now, either the whole course or nine holes, due to flooding. And I know Blackberry Oaks wasn't the only golf course in the Chicagoland area that got affected by the floods. Lake Bluff did, and I went over to see one of your old stomping ground courses, Palatine Hills in Palatine, and they've had trouble with four or five holes for a large, long time now, and those same holes were underwater again, and I think most of the courses that flooded out have dried out, been cleaned up, and those courses are back in play, and it was really nice to see Blackberry Oaks get back to 18 holes just in time for, you know, the loosening of restrictions starting here tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm really happy for Chad. That was, he had a really, it's a tough spring for everybody, but I think he had it worse than most everybody for, you know, getting his course playable and getting it working. Palatine Hills was a, you know, kind of in my backyard for a long time there. They had a lot of flooding problem on the last four holes, and I think that they've improved the situation quite a bit in more recent years, but it's a tough one to really get right over there. For a lot of times it was, every time it had rained, it was a 14 hole golf course, but they've improved the situation quite a bit there. It's really become a much better of the public courses in the area, but that those heavy rains, I mean, thank goodness what they did Oak Meadows, I mean, that was the epitome of dealing with flooding issues. They did a great job there.
Well, they sure did, and I actually got to reopen my golf season for the year. The first round up north, the first time I'd played in 4 months yesterday, went out to the preserve. It was tough playing it in high heat under the conditions set forth by the governor this month. Myself and my playing partner about wilted out there because, you know, they can't have water coolers out there on the course and the halfway house isn't open and there's no beverage cart. And, you know, it almost gets to a point, it's so hot that you have to consider the safety factors. I know I was pretty wiped out by the time I finished, but what was not only really nice is due to the fact that, you know, there isn't a lot of players going around the golf course. The preserve at Oak Meadows, absolutely in mint condition. Greens were fantastic. The tee boxes are fantastic. The fairways, from a turf standpoint, Oak Meadows, probably like a lot of other courses, is just in really good shape due to lack of play for this year. And you are absolutely right, Len, because had they not done the renovation work by architect Greg Martin a few years back, from the rains we had here a week or so ago, it would have been back to, there would have been two or three holes where the water would have almost been up to the flagsticks again. So, you know, Oak Meadows, or the preserve as they call it now, came through things very well, considering, you know, how it would have been in the past. And as I came in and as I was golfing yesterday, I noticed that another phase of the brand new clubhouse there had started to kick in. They were starting to put up the steel beams. And so they've apparently done the work on the foundation and the basement areas. And now the clubhouse, you can actually say, is really going up. I've got some pictures of that first phase above ground construction work. And we'll have that at golfersongolf.com in the next day or two. But really looking forward to seeing that clubhouse in its finished stages. Hopefully, I know they were hoping for late August, early September, but for a variety of reasons, I think it'll be closer to the end of October by the time they get that building open. But they are above ground now, and the steel's going up, and I think we're really going to see the clubhouse starting to take shape here in the next 6 weeks.
That is great news. That course, once that clubhouse is up, I predict that's going to be the site of a lot of big events. I wouldn't be surprised if an Illinois Open went over there, or a Illinois PGA, or any. I mean, that course, once it has that clubhouse, with the work that Greg Martin did on getting the course back, they could hold anything over there. It's going to be great time for at Oak Meadows in the next few years. You know, but probably one more year. But starting next year, I think a lot of big stuff will be going over there. That'll be a real hotbed for everybody.
Well, whether it's the Preserve and Maple Meadows or the Preserve and one of the surrounding, there's a couple other private clubs in the area. You could definitely have an Illinois Open that now needs two courses right there. It'd be a good centralized location from pros coming or amateurs, if you're talking about the Illinois Open, from all over the state. It'd be a real good location. And for guys that might be driving up a couple hours, from central Illinois or something to take part in that. There's plenty of restaurants and, of course, hotels and things like that in the area if people need a place to stay and a place to go eat. Speaking of places where there's some good golf tournaments going on and have gone on over the years in the state of Illinois, it was nice to get the emails yesterday about the reopening of Illinois' premier golf resort, Eagle Ridge, up in Galena. They're getting the spa open next week, the golf courses on a bigger stage starting tomorrow with the relaxation of the restrictions, and the resort sounds like it's going to be back running at close to full steam, and I'm really interested to see the direction it's going to go under new owner Mark Klausner, who bought the resort last year. And they're moving some things around. They're redoing that general clubhouse with a new deck, and they're flipping the nines, and they're moving the general store, and they're doing a lot of different things. It'll be interesting to see what the long-term plans are for that property as it moves forward.
I've forever loved Eagle Ridge. I've been going there regularly for a long time. The General, I always thought it was one of the very best courses in Illinois. Now, the trouble with the General is you really can't walk it. You couldn't have a big tournament there, a walking tournament. I think it was the CDGA tried to do that once. Maybe it was the Illinois PGA, but it just wouldn't work out for a tournament for that nature. But that facility has 63 holes. I mean, it's an awful lot of golf, a nice little town of Galena. It's a favorite hangout. I'm looking forward to getting there again this summer once we get back to Illinois. I'm very interested in seeing what the new owner's plans. I haven't met him. I want to meet him, and I want to see what plans he's got for that area, because that's always been a real hot spot in Illinois golf. I think, I don't know that everybody has seen Eagle Ridge yet, but it's got everything there. I just love going there.
Well, it'd be nice to keep more of that destination resort traffic back here in the state of Illinois. I know there's so many great places in Michigan, Wisconsin, Indiana, so forth. It's very easy for our Illinois golfers to run over the border, but hopefully the continued rebirth of Eagle Ridge will get more and more people back up to that property. And I think Mark Klausner has a plan that he's working on, and it's starting to come together little by little, and we hope to see a little bit more of it this summer. Lenny, in closing online, I happen to see that our good friend, former Illinois PGA Section Executive Director Mike Miller, was celebrating his fifth year anniversary of having the same job out in the Southwest PGA Section there in Arizona. And I think, along with myself, you and I both congratulate him on the work that he and his team are doing out in Arizona and for golf and section professionals out there.
Yeah, Mike is one of the world's good people. I'm sure he's enjoying the weather a lot more in Arizona than folks in Chicago have been enjoying trying to play golf courses there. I've got to get to Arizona. I saw Mike at the PGA show, but I haven't really gotten all the lowdown on how things are going there, but I'm sure he's doing a great job, because he was a real good executive director for the Illinois PGA. I think he was there 23 years. Quite a great run.
With that, we'll close it up for the week, and we'll talk to you next week for Zeme and Spears Podcast Series 2020, Volume 12.